Leo Frank Georgia Supreme Court Appeals Records, 1913, 1914, page 1044. Visible translated text is as follows. That he didn't know whether he did or not, but that he could tell whether she worked at the factory by looking at his payroll book. As we were leaving Mr. Frank's house, Mr. Frank asked Mrs. Fagan to telephone Mr. Darley to come to the factory. Mr. Frank was apparently still nervous at the undertaking establishment. He stepped lively. He was just his general manner that indicated to me that he was nervous. I never saw Mr. Frank in my life until that morning. After we got out of Mr. Frank's house and was in my car, was the first time Mr. Frank had been told that the young lady was named Mary Fagan and that there had been any murder committed at the factory. From the undertakers, we went to the pencil factory in my car. We went into Mr. Frank's office. He went up to the safe, turned the combination, opened the safe, took out his time book, laid the book down on the table, ran his finger down until he came to the name Mary Fagan and said, "Yes, Mary Fagan worked here. She was here yesterday to get her pay." He said, "I will tell you about the exact time she left there. My stenographer left about 12 o'clock, and a few minutes after she left, the office boy left and Mary came in and got her money and left. He said she got $1.20 and he asked whether anybody had found the envelope that the money was in." Frank still seemed to be nervous like the first time I seen him. It was just his quick manner of stepping around and his manner of speech like he had done at the house that indicated to me that he was nervous. He then wanted to see where the girl was found. Mr. Frank went around by the elevator, where there was a switch box on the wall, and Mr. Frank put the switch in. The box was not locked. Somebody asked him if he was used to keeping the switch box locked. He said they had kept it locked up to a certain time until the insurance company told him that he would have to leave it unlocked, that it was a violation of the law to keep an electric switch box locked. We then stepped on the elevator. He still stepped about lively and spoke up lively, answering questions just like he had always done. After we got on the elevator, I jerked at the rope and it hung, and he called Mr. Darley to start it, and we stepped out of the elevator. Mr. Darley came and pulled at the rope two or three times, and the elevator started. As to whether anybody made any statement down in the basement as to who was responsible for the murder, I think Mr. Frank made the remark that Mr. Darley had worked neatly for some time out at the Oakland plant, and that if Lee knew anything about the murder, that Darley would stand a better chance of getting it out of him than anybody else. After we came back from the basement, it was suggested that we go to the station house, and as we started out, Mr. Frank says, "I had better put in a new slip, hadn't I, Darley?" Darley told him yes to put in a slip. Frank took his keys out, unlocked the door of the right-hand clock, and lifted out the slip, looked at it, and made the remark that the slip was punched correctly. Mr. Darley and Newt Lee was standing there at the time. Mr. Frank said the punches had been made correctly. Mr. Frank then put in a new slip, closed the door, locked it, and took his pencil and wrote on the slip that he had already taken out of the machine, April 26th, 1913. I looked at the slip that Mr. Frank took out,